Hello, and welcome to Walking Wisely with Our God. Each week on this program, I'll interview a new guest who will share with us some of their life story, along with steps that they have taken to learn to walk wisely. I'm Anne-Marie, your host, and this is Episode 1. My first guest today is someone who is noticeably walking wisely and is one of our Grace family members who you will appreciate hearing more about today. But before I introduce this wonderful guest, let me ask all of you who are listening, how wisely are you walking these days? This may be a question that you've never pondered before, but in God's Word, Ephesians 5:15 warns us to pay careful attention to how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So, you'll want to listen in and glean wisdom from our first guest today, who is endeavors to walk wisely with our God. And she is a beautiful, truly beautiful person in the Lord, and a woman who walks beside and not behind her mutually wise partner of 35 years, who is none other than our Grace Fellowship pastor, David Ripley. Gina, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm honored to be your first guest.
It's a pleasure to have you. Is Pastor David a man who's willing to admit that you are sometimes his better half?
Yes, he is. He's very wise to know that we're partners together and, we listen to each other. So, yes, we are together. Perfect.
Amen. And you definitely emulate the most perfect couple. I have to tell you, Gina, when I was started attending Grace Fellowship Church, you were so welcoming and you made me feel like I belonged here as part of a family instantly. And I just want to thank you for that. You just got a warm, welcoming heart, and I really appreciate that about you. So I think the listeners would love to know a little bit more about your history. You have a lot of hats that you wear every day, Gina. And so can you give us a snippet of what a day in the life of Gina looks like?
Yes, it's very busy. Sometimes I overdo it, but it varies. But I'm very involved at the church in the administration part and helping and serving in any way that they need me. So I love doing that. And we also have Jessica, my niece, that had a car accident and acquired a brain injury. So she's been with us for 2 years. So mm-hmm. I'm caring for her, and it's a blessing to have her with us. So that keeps me busy taking care of her. And that's about it. Yeah. Different things.
Let alone being a homemaker.
Yes.
And having a new puppy in the house.
And then I did raise three kids. So I have two boys in Toronto that are married, and then a daughter that's married too. But they're all grown now, and now it's just us with Jessica.
So can you give us some idea? I understand you came from Toronto, and that was 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago?
4.5 years ago, we moved to Creston from Toronto. We were in Toronto for over 27 years, ministering in churches there. And I'm originally from Quebec, from a French family. We spoke French at home. And David, my husband, he's from New Brunswick.
And you told me at one time that you were raised in a Catholic home. How is it that you encountered Jesus along the way?
Yes, I was very religious, I would say, because I really had a strong desire to know God. And when I was around 10 years old, prayer beads, everywhere, rosaries everywhere hanging on my walls and everything. I was so religious. I actually wanted to be a nun at one point.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But things changed because my sister, that's older than me, she was the intellectual part, intellectual person, and she wasn't religious at all. She wasn't, interested in that stuff. But when she went to university, she met someone that started talking to her about the Lord and about the Bible and Jesus being real, and that he was, had come to save us. And so he talked with her, witnessed to her about a year. And after 1 year, she surrendered her life to Christ. And I saw such a change in her life. It was so drastic. Then I started being, wondering, asking. And then I remember she gave me a Bible and she said, just read it. At that time, I guess she didn't have she didn't know how to share her faith very well. So she just gave me this Bible and she said, just read it. And what you don't understand, just underline it. Mm. And I'll try to help you. Well, I just opened it up and I was just underlining pretty much the whole thing. So she decided to bring me to church at that time to a gospel meeting. And I went. And I heard the message of the gospel that, yes, Jesus had died on the cross for our sins, but we had to accept it. It was something, it was a personal decision we had to do. And this is the difference that I didn't know. Mm. I knew in general that Jesus had died for the world and everything, mm-hmm. but I didn't realize I had to personally surrender my life to Christ and to serve him and acknowledge him. So I did that and my life was transformed. And I was 16 years old at that time.
And so did the rest of your family come to the Lord at that time too then? I mean, it was you and your sister then.
Yeah, actually my two brothers, they did accept the Lord not too mm-hmm. long after I mm-hmm. did too. And mm-hmm. then my parents saw a big change in us and that spoke to them. That's something real. You know, it wasn't just passing through. Something real had happened to our lives. Yeah.
And so you say you underlined everything or most of the scripture in the Bible. Is there one particular scripture that really jumped out at you and say it's maybe your favorite verse still today?
Well, I remember the verse that the pastor shared the first time I heard the gospel message, and it was about the lost sheep that didn't know that was lost, and the talent, that wasn't, was lost, and the woman found the talent, and mm-hmm. they rejoiced and everything. Mm-hmm. And I remember that parable, and it reminded me that I didn't know that I was lost mm-hmm. and I needed to be saved. And that's mm-hmm. when I realized, I need to surrender. It's like my eyes open. And then when I start opening my Bible after that, it's like, it's new life. You're born again of the Spirit of God. And mm-hmm. it's hard to explain sometimes people who haven't experienced that. But it's the Spirit of God that comes and live in you. And your life is changed. And all of a sudden, the Word of God, the Bible, was speaking to me, was encouraging me, was bringing direction. It was mm-hmm. just incredible. I saw the difference.
It's the power that raised Lazarus from mm-hmm. the dead. It truly is amazing. So what would you say in your present life, how is it that you feel that God is at work or evident to you that God is at work through your life right now?
Well, I submit myself every day to do his will. That's, I spend time in his word. I spend time in prayer yeah. to be able to listen and be led by his Holy Spirit each day, because my desire is to make a difference, in other people's lives and to do things that will bring glory and honor to God. And then bring others that don't know him, that they will feel drawn and say, hey, something's different about Gina, mm-hmm. this lady. So I want to know more. So I see God at work like that in each day. In what we do. So you don't have to go to the mission field necessarily. God can use us each day if we let him, if we're listening, if we desire that, and you see him at work in all these things as you interact with people.
Yes. Yeah. And so, Gina, would you say that you can be wise not reading the Bible or knowing God personally?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that, because there is two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom that comes from humans, humanistic, mm-hmm. and then there's the wisdom of God. So the wisdom of man and the world is limited. It goes so far. But then God's wisdom is eternal. God's wisdom brings fruits, brings transformation, brings lives are changed, yes. and mm-hmm. it brings purpose. It's so much greater. And sometimes God asks us to do things and it doesn't make sense to us at that moment. But this is where we have to trust God and let him do his work and continue to follow him. And eventually a lot of things, then you see, oh, now I see what God was trying to do. Because like I said, our wisdom is not the same as God. So, and he's the creator of all things, and he's perfect. Mm-hmm. So I trust his wisdom more than I trust mine. So
I agree. Yeah. Yes, yes. And so what would you say is something you would like our listeners to take away from hearing your story today?
Well, I'd like those who are following Christ now to continue to each day to make sure that, you know, they desire, they ask God for his wisdom, because there's so many voices out there. There's so many things talking to us and mm-hmm. trying to lead us and direct us. And we have to make sure that we stay on the right track and we stay on what God wants us to do. So to stay focused, to look to God for everything, to look, ask for his wisdom. And he's faithful. He will give us it. I mean, there's a promise in God's word that says, if you ask for wisdom, I will give it. So God wants to give us wisdom, but we have to ask him. If we're just going to do things our own way, then he just lets us do it. And then when we fall, then we realize, oh Lord, I should have done it your way. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking by experience, so I'm certainly not perfect. I've learned through my mistakes and I've learned through my faults, but I, you know, endeavor to ask the Lord, you know, I want to do it your way, Lord. And for those who don't know the Lord and are not followers of Christ, mm-hmm. I would say, you know what, Jesus is the answer. He is the way, and he is the life. And if you really want to know if he's real, then just ask him. Just say, Lord, if you're really real, reveal yourself to me. Show me the way. Show me that you're really, you know, the one I should serve, and you're the truth. And he will answer that prayer. I mean, I've heard so many people share that, like, God will reveal himself, and he will show you the way. So I want to encourage you that there is hope, because there's a lot of things going on in this world, and it can be very overwhelming. It can mm-hmm. be depressing. It can be hopeless. Mm-hmm. But if we keep our eyes to God, our eyes on Christ, on Jesus, then we will get through whatever we have to face. So he is the answer. So I would like to encourage, you know, all those who are listening, look to God, ask him.
Yes. You know, and one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 2:15, and it states that our lives are like Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God like a sweet perfume and a pleasing aroma. May I say that after hearing your story today, Gina, I clearly see that verse emulated in you. And I just want to thank you for sharing with us today. In closing, could you, I mean, there's a lot, like you say, out there today that is discouraging, and a lot of people might be feeling hopeless in just what many are having to go through and struggling today. Would there be a prayer that you could pray for our listeners today just to encourage them and to have that sense of hope you're talking about?
Yes, for sure. I'd love to have a word of prayer. And before I say that, you know, the scriptures, you know, about our lives be a fragrance to Christ. Christians around the world, they're a testimony of who God is. Mm-hmm. You know, I am a testimony of the how real God is, because he changed my life. You are a testimony mm-hmm. of what God, you know, how he's real, because your life shows, and there's so many evidence of how God is so real. And in this world, even as Christians, sometimes we struggle, sometimes we get discouraged. We're humans, right?
Yes.
But God will help us when we lean on him and when we look to his word. His word brings so much comfort to our hearts and direction and purpose. And we know the gold. We know that our lives are temporal here on this earth. Mm-hmm. Our lives are very short. They go quickly. The next thing you know, you're retired and your kids are all gone and you're like, wow, what happened? Yeah. So life goes fast. But if we look to God and surrender to him and let him do his work, you know, our lives will be transformed, and we will be able to live this life in a way that pleases God. So let me just have a word
yes,
of prayer.
Yes, please do.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you because you hear our conversations and you know everything about us, oh God. And Father, I just pray that you will help us to look to you in each moment, in each situation, oh God. Whatever we're facing today, whatever we have to face in the future, Lord, that you will help us and strengthen us and give us wisdom to know what to do, oh God. We need you this day. And we acknowledge that. And we know that your plans are perfect and your plans are good, oh God. And that, Father, when we do it your way, oh Lord, there's so much blessing and there's so much richness in it. So, Father, I pray that you will just encourage and strengthen each one that's listening today, and that those who do not know you, Lord, that you will draw them unto you, that their eyes will be open, that they will see that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming in today, Gina. It was a pleasure talking to you, and truly can't wait to see you again and Sunday. And anybody who's listening who would like to meet Gina in person, come out and visit us on at church on Sunday. We'd love to have you. Well, that concludes our program today. And if you'd like to hear a replay of Gina's story, you can tune in on the replay. Otherwise, please join me here again next week when I will talk to a new guest that we can glean more wisdom from who is walking wisely. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him." Now that is some wise advice. I'm Anne-Marie, your host. Thank you again for joining me today and our guest, Gina. And God bless you as you walk wisely through this week.